Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformation. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
This is Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, Inspirational Speaker, Performance Enhancement Expert, and author, Sean Douglas. Welcome, welcome, welcome to all of our listeners who are listening from wherever you are. This show is heard in 28 countries, such as US, Brazil, Canada, France, Australia, and New Zealand. So thank you so much for those who are listening from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformations. Here, we tell the story of why we are doing what we're doing. We highlight the transformational moment that has changed our lives and how we are using these two to help transform others and elevate their lives. You can listen to us every Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time and on the first and third Fridays at 5:30 p.m. Eastern. On the show are impactful and amazing guests that are impacting everyone around them. So if anything today resonates with you, I invite you to go to iTunes, subscribe to the show so you don't miss any episodes, and then go ahead and rate and review the show so we can see what resonated with you. I love reading the comments. I love sharing them with the guests. The guests love reading them as well and interacting. You can join our Facebook group, Life Transformation Radio Podcast. You can join that group. And then you can also email myself at Sean, S-E-A-N, at the Success Corps, T-H-E, Success Corps, C-O-R-P-S, thesuccesscorps.com. Recommend any guests, talk about the show, and then I forward any comments on to the guests. So let's talk about the guest that I have today. She is absolutely phenomenal at what she does. Absolutely phenomenal story, background, history. You guys are going to absolutely love her. So help me welcome to the show, Stephanie Smart. Stephanie, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Thanks, Sean.
I am so pumped for you to be here. Like, I was reading your bio and kind of doing some research on you, and you are doing some really, really cool things.
Thank you. I'm loving what I'm doing, which is really the crux of what we should all be doing, right? And I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
So if you're ready to get started, I am ready.
You bet.
Let's do this.
Talk. Yeah.
The episode today is titled The Dragon Mystic, Stephanie Smart. Stephanie Smart is a soul song mentor, energy medicine practitioner, teacher, and spiritual director who has been involved in learning and teaching the ancient arts for over 30 years. An instructor in orthobiography, Stephanie also holds a master's degree in oriental medicine. She's a Reiki master and teacher and has a degree in business management. She has studied with a variety of shamanistic energy teachers, an experienced and corporate business trainer, intuitive, and wellness professional. Stephanie incorporates the wisdom she has learned as a survivor of 16 years of childhood abuse and being a recovering alcoholic and drug addict. Stephanie empowers her audience to connect with their own inner wisdom, as it is in this remembering of who we are and what our gifts are that we can truly create a life filled with the notes of our soul song. The notes of our soul song are made up of things like your passions, dreams, gifts, core values, and the other things that drive you every day. These things are the non-negotiables. To have a fully thriving life, these are the things that must be present. Stephanie's talks are filled with stories, resources, and tips for gaining clarity and taking action. Stephanie splits her time between working with private clients and running Soul Song Alchemy, an entrepreneurial school for energy professionals and changemakers. You can connect with Stephanie on Facebook.com/ The Dragon Mystic, M-Y-S-T-I-C, The Dragon Mystic. You can look her up on LinkedIn at Steph Smart. And go to her website, www.thedragonmystic.com. Holy moly, Stephanie.
Yeah, you read that, I'm like, wow, that's a lot of stuff.
That sounds like cool. You know what really reaches out to me in this whole thing and everything I've read, right? The Soul Song sounds pretty cool. You know, you have a school for you know, entrepreneurial energy professionals, everything. But really what resonates with me is the Soul Song is made up of your passions, dreams, gifts, but core values. I preach the death out of this thing every time I'm on stage speaking. Like, you gotta have core values, gotta have core. These are your, I literally, like, this is not negotiable. These are your top five core values. It's never gonna go away. You have to believe in this 100% of the time. These are your top five forever. Once you put these in, it's in stone like the Ten Commandments. It's forever. And I love that you mentioned the core values.
Yeah, you know, and when we veer from those, our life does not nourish us. And that's when we start to realize that, hey, wait a minute, we've gotten off track. And going back to those core values and those notes of our Soul Song is where we really build a foundation. And that's what it is.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And something else that resonated was I was also an alcoholic at one point. And was headed towards the drugs. You know, I hung out with a lot of friends that, well, hung with a lot of people, not friends, but hung with a lot of people that were going down that way. And that's where kind of where my life was leading me. And it might have been from the time that I was in third grade to the time that I was in seventh grade, I was physically abused by one of my mother's husbands, who was my stepdad at the time, but he's no longer here. So, just thinking about this, I'm like, wow, we have much to talk about. But a lot of what we've been through, we share in that. You know what I mean? Like, we share it in those aspects of the life. So, yeah, I really appreciate your vulnerability already. You know, just in the bio.
Yeah, you know, it became clear to me a number of years ago that in order to affect the change that I want to see happening in the world, I have to show up and be visible. And it's still, you know, it's a process like we all go through, but that was really part of my story and part of my why, and I had to have that in there. And when I wasn't, then I couldn't really share fully of who I was, and people didn't really understand the depth of where the wisdom and where the knowledge is that I share, where it comes from. And that background is really important. So I really felt like it had to be in there at some point.
Well, I'm really glad that it is. So the first question that you always ask on the show is why? Why do we do what we do? I feel like that's the most important question that we have to ask ourselves. Because if we wake up with no why, there's no reason why we're doing what we're doing and we're left unfulfilled. So the first question for you is why? What is your why for what you do?
Oh, you know, that has changed over time. So it's an interesting question because my why when I was having a full-time practice and as a wellness professional was to really help people to improve their lives. And then over time, that transitioned where I really began to see the bigger picture. And I have two kids, and when they were born, I went part-time, and then I went no time working outside of the home because they both have some special needs. And they became my entire focus. And when I got settled with that, and last year I really was like, okay, it's time for me to go back to work, and it's time for me. And that became really clear. And in that process of discovering that it was time for me, I realized that the time for me involved getting my message out, and that why transformed into I need a bigger message. I need to help people reconnect with who they are, because that's so crucial to who we are as people. And for me, when I realized, like, I had this moment of sitting there with a lease in hand for a space to go back to the way it was, or an opportunity to start speaking and being a mentor and coaching. And I sat there and I realized if I chose the lease in hand to going back to the way it was, I was going to sit in a puddle of tears, because that was shutting off part of who I was. And that why of getting the bigger message out and helping people reconnect to who they are at their core is so much more than the individual wellness practice that I was doing. And so it's really about that for me. And when I see clients get that light bulb go off where they start to put the pieces together and see the patterns and they see that they can have a life that really nourishes them. I'm like, oh, now I just want to sit and cry with joy because it's so heartwarming.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I love the fact that I can take pride and joy and fulfillment in having breakthrough with other people. You know, they come to me and they say, you know, can we do this? Can we do this? You know, and then I see the breakthroughs and I'm like, see, like, do it this way, do it this way, do it this way. And they're like, oh yeah. And then they go implement. Mm-hmm. I get to sit back and go, look what I just did.
Yeah. You know?
And it's just such a great feeling that I have that skill set and that opportunity to do that. So
absolutely. It gets us to the place where, for me, that I've always said it's an honor to be able to do what I do. And it is. And I'm so grateful for it. And also, right, we have to also recognize that we come to this life, we come to where we are today with a lot of skill sets and experiences and wisdom that we've timed that we share with our clients and we share out in the greater world, and that we can take pride in that because we've walked that path and we've gone through our own transformation in order to get to here, and that's really what we're sharing.
Absolutely. So with that said, what is that moment for you? How did you get to where you are now?
Oh, that was a long path.
Well,
there were some pivotal moments.
Yeah, I said, let's go through like the highlight reel, right?
Yeah.
Let's talk about the highlight reel. If you had to sit in a movie theater and they flashed your life on the screen, you know, what did your journey look like? How did you get to this point that you're at now?
Yeah, so, you know, some of the highlight reel is really being a young adult in my, you know, 18, 19 years old. And I inherited some money when I turned 18. And I promptly spent all of that money in a very, very short time on a lot of drugs and alcohol. And in that process, there were several episodes of attempted suicide. And why, I mean, one of those, you know, highlights where you got those pictures that are so vivid in your mind of your past, right? Is it, why am I still here? And because I know that at least one of those times I died. And so when that happens, and then I see that coming back, and I'm like, okay, you know what, why am I here? 'Cause there's clearly a message here. There's clearly a reason. And then I proceeded to move across the country, and I was truck driving the big semis across the country.
Really?
And I was one of those big semi truck drivers for a while.
Uh-oh.
And I was in this little tiny car accident. And why was I in this little tiny accident? But it was a pivotal moment, and I picked up the phone and I called my stepfather, who happened to be the abuser in my household as well as the alcoholic, and I picked up the phone to call him. And he was in recovery at the time, and he said, come here. And I got on a bus, and I went there. And I moved into this tiny one-bedroom apartment with my stepfather and my little brother and my stepbrother, who were all in recovery. And that was the beginning for me of stepping into taking my own power back. And I think those are the moments where we really have that opportunity for transformation. And I proceeded to go to 12-step meetings for a long time. You know, a lot of time during the day I was in a meeting because I knew that I was in deep trouble.
Mm.
And that awareness of something being handed to you and being able to say yes. And recognizing those times over our life where when we can get out of the way and we recognize, oh, there's something here and I need to follow this. And finding those points. And I've had several of those in my life. And you know, so that was the beginning of that path. And then many years later, and I got involved in a car accident. Again, cars involved. And I was on disability for a year and a half. And I'm not getting better and I'm not getting better. And somebody says, you need to call this person and she needs to work with you using orthobiotomy. I'm like, okay. It was another one of those times where I just picked up the phone and it happened.
Yep.
And it was one of those times for this person who had just gotten through saying, I'm not taking new clients. Nobody else is going to come live in my house. That's it. I'm raising this family. I'm done. And the next thing she knows, she's saying yes, and I'm moving in with them. And to this day, she is one of my dearest friends and is integral to my life. And so it's like those moments where we say yes, and those moments where we recognize that we are given an opportunity, and that those are the times where we have choices, and those paths come before us. And that's where we build that wisdom that we were talking about of making the choices and finding those times where we go, oh, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And then having the willingness to show up and do it.
Yep. I live my life by that principle. Say yes and then figure it out. Because I believe
absolutely.
By saying yes, you open your heart to new opportunities and new ideas. Right?
Absolutely.
Your heart and mind is opened when you say yes. And my mentor, Rock Thomas, is absolutely obsessed with saying yes. You know what I mean? Like, like he tells everybody, he's like, what are you doubting yourself for? Like, say yes and then take massive action. Like, that's his that's his whole world. Say yes and take massive action. I'm like, yeah, dude. Like, he's so intoxicating. I love Rock Thomas. But that's his that's his saying. You know, you say yes and take massive action.
Absolutely. And those are the times where we then have a transformative experience in our life. And we get back onto the path that we recognize that we were meant to be on.
Yep. No, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So can you pinpoint exactly what transformational moment, you had talked about, you know, that was the moment where I kind of said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. But like, can you pinpoint exactly like that moment that said, okay, my life is at a crossroads and I need to make a decision?
Yeah. So I proceeded with orthobiotomy and taking a lot of classes and becoming a practitioner, but I also proceeded with my corporate career and I was working for Kinko's at the time.
Okay.
And I was the regional training manager for the state of Michigan. So I had, you know, a lot of stores, a staff of people and all that good, lovely stuff and training. Right. And so I remember sitting in my office with by myself and the phone out as far as your arm can reach with my boss yelling at me about something that I hadn't done that I didn't even know I was supposed to be doing because I was in this pilot program. And I was just like, this is not happening. And so I hear this voice and it says, if today were your last day on earth, would you be happy with the legacy you left? And my world stopped that moment. And I said, no. There was never even a question of any other answer besides no. And I hung up the phone and I quit. And that was my last job. I was stepped into one of the stores and I worked, you know, I worked 9 to 3 and ran machines and whatnot for a little while. But that was the beginning of me being done with working for anyone else and really stepping into, you know what? I need to be doing my own training and I need to be doing orthobiotomy. And I went and proceeded to get a degree in oriental medicine because I knew that I needed to be in this health and wellness industry because it's so important to bring people back to health and bring people back to wellness. And there's so many different varieties of that. But that for me, that moment of sitting there with that phone out, you know, arm out as far as I can reach, and then hearing this voice, and that was it. I was done and I proceeded to be, you know, work for myself almost from then forward.
Wow. So what has been the best part so far? What sticks out for you? What has been the best part about your journey?
You know, the best part about my journey has really been the learning that I get to do and watching how other people how I am able to impact other people in a positive manner. So when I finished Oriental Medicine School, I had a full clinic where I was helping people doing acupuncture and herbs and energy work and really incorporating everything I did. And I did a lot of fertility work. And I loved watching people come in and tell me they were pregnant and see that light go on. And I love people coming in and having, you know, this opportunity for recognizing that their body wasn't just telling them they were in pain. But when we did these other things that changed some other aspects in their life, then guess what? A lot of things changed. And that we really start to see that the interconnectedness and watching those lights go on for people about how our physical and our energetic bodies are and our spiritual bodies are so interconnected is just, I love that.
Yeah. So what was the worst part about it? There's always going to be a bad part.
The worst part is that for all of how organized I am not very good at the logistics of actually doing my own bookkeeping. That is the worst piece for me.
Right.
Truth be told, I'm like, I just got to pay. You know, I've got this file folder of receipts, and I just dread it.
Yeah.
And so it's like those mundane tasks sometimes are the worst part for me of being self-employed.
I've had receipts. And hotel, you know, receipts and stuff sitting on my computer desk on top of a manila folder. Like, it didn't even make it to the manila folder. It's still sitting on the manila folder waiting to be inputted. And I think it was like almost a month ago since I was there. So it's like,
yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I keep forgetting. And then taxes come and you're like, ah, crap.
Yeah. You're like, oh, I needed to do that.
Oops. And now you're like number crunching and you're like, oh, God.
Yeah.
I need my W-9s. Yep,
yeah, so
absolutely.
Those mundane tasks I'm not so good at. I love the planning. I love doing all of the business aspects of it. But some of those other things, I'm like, oh, I need somebody to do this for me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No kidding. So switching gears, I got a couple of two-part questions. You know, what's the best part? What's the worst part? So who has been your biggest influencer? And you mentioned somebody earlier, but who's been your biggest influencer?
Yeah, you know, I would say that my biggest influencer is the person I mentioned earlier. Her name is Allison. And she really showed me that there could be a different way. And then taught me a lot of tools and resources in order to make that happen in my life, and has really been that support and that colleague and that, you know, beyond at this point. But it was the first person who really opened up the doorway for me and then stood beside me and walked the path. Because so often we find something where we're like, oh, this is great. And then you go to a class and you're like, well, now what? And I love having this person who modeled for me, no, we don't just disappear after the one thing. It's about walking a path together. And that has been really invaluable for me. And I love that.
Awesome. That's
yeah.
Yep. We're like the same way. Yep. Absolutely. So on the flip side of that, who has been your biggest supporter?
My biggest supporter, I would have to say, is my wife.
Okay.
She, we've been together 27 years. We met when she was in college, in graduate school. I was 23 and I was 23. We met in Santa Barbara, California, where I grew up. I'm the person who built the skateboard ramp on the cul-de-sac and rode my bike everywhere and wasn't really into any of the academic stuff. And I am now like this person who's this academic. And she really showed me that there was a process of learning how to learn things. And that over time, she has been my biggest supporter. And we talk about being each other's allies.
Awesome.
And this has been really important for me because I'm in this alternative medicine field and I do you know, I do a lot of stuff. I talk about spirit guides and I talk about dragons and I give people herbs. And she works for a pharmaceutical company and she's a scientist.
Oh,
and
wow.
At the same time, it's like learning how to recognize we're both creative and we both bring our passions to what we do. And, you know, when all is said and done, she is the one who's there going, no, you know how to do this. Go do what you need to do. And when I was sitting in that moment of, do I sign this lease or do I pursue what really brings me so much joy? Her only comment was, can you make money doing that? Because I need to contribute to the family.
Awesome.
And then she was like, go do it. And that's what I need, you know, that's what I need in my corner.
Yeah. No, definitely. Definitely. Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I've got a couple of different, you know, supporters that kind of, you know, they're behind me pushing me forward. You know what I mean? Sometimes
yeah.
That's what we need. We need somebody going, no, you got this, like to balance those unbalanced thoughts. Cause we have a lot of those unbalanced thoughts. Like, I can't do this. And this is so hard.
Oh.
And I can, they're like, no, you know how to do this. And, you know, it's hard sometimes to be our own coach and to be our own cheerleader. So we
right.
need those people around us.
We
know?
Do.
Yep.
And I have coaches.
Absolutely.
And I have somebody that I talk to every week who is just an accountability person. We've become dear friends and we talk
awesome.
To each other every week. And we're like, what's going on this week? What are we doing? What support can we give each other? And we just bounce the ideas off of each other. It's really fantastic.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm
yeah.
in two different masterminds. One's a speaking mastermind and the other one's just a life mastermind, you know, business,
oh, yeah.
life, you know. So definitely without them, my life would be scaled back a lot, you
yeah.
know, because you learn things from everybody. So definitely having accountability people, mentors, coach. I didn't even realize that coaches have coaches. Like, I didn't realize.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. You know, you have, you know, a coach for this and a coach for that. But I figure at some point you're at the top. Like, you are like the best version of yourself. And it's not
right.
so much.
You
I'm
still
finding
need that,
that
sounding board.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I'm finding that the higher you go, the more in-depth coaching you would need to be at that level and to operate at that level. So
absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep,
I was just writing a post about this the other day. One of the coaches I work with, she's doing this end of year planning thing. And I'm like, I know I need to invest in myself, but I also have this other expense and I went to bed and I hit the pay now button and I turned off my phone and I'm like, I got to invest in myself. I know that I have to invest in myself and I have to invest in my business. And I talk about how everything is energy. What we put out there in the world is energy. And when we tell the universe certain things, there's a response. And I woke up the next morning to a payment from a client that covered the expense of what I spent. And
right.
I just had to laugh. I'm like, yeah, okay, I get the sense of humor. God's laughing at me again.
Yeah, right? No, absolutely. And so if you had to go back, would you change anything or would you do anything different?
I would change anything. I think I would step into this role of fully taking on being a mentor and a coach and speaking much sooner than I did.
Right.
You know, I knew I wanted to be doing this for a long time, but I didn't know how. And I think I wish that I had figured that out sooner. But also on the flip side is I have a story to tell.
There you go. Oh
yeah.
Yeah. I was at a conference one time and one of the speakers, I gave her a standing ovation because of something that she said. She said that everybody has a story and some people
yep.
tell it and some people hide it, but you have to have the courage at some point to tell your story because you never know who's listening and who needs
mm-hmm.
to hear your story specific. I'm like,
absolutely.
Oh my gosh.
Absolutely.
Like, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
that's so true.
Huge.
So true.
Yep. So here we are talking with Stephanie Smart on Life Transformation Radio. Listeners, if you have a question for Stephanie, you can call in at 657-383-1109. Again, if you're listening live, You can call in at 657-383-1109. And if you have a question for me or Stephanie, we welcome your calls. And if you're listening on iTunes, you can hit that subscribe button and you can rate and review the show and get in touch with Stephanie. All of her contact information is in the show notes. And let us know what resonated with you. So as we switch to the next couple questions, I love talking about resources because I feel like, you know, we can't do this alone and there's got to be something out there that can propel us forward. I'm a huge consumer. I consume information at a rate that is mind-blowing to physicians everywhere. And sometimes I just don't know how to implement, you know, because I'm consuming. Like, I can't do nothing yet. Like, I got to wait, you know what I mean? And so God, like the bright, shiny object syndrome. And like, I am the reverse Oprah. Like, I want it all, I want it all, I want it all, I want it all. Like, you know, like I am the reverse Oprah, right? And so talk about some of the resources that you have found during your journey that has elevated you to that next level.
Yeah. So for me, there's been a variety of different resources. I mean, we talked a little bit ago about coaches and, yep. And I think that's been a huge piece, you know, regardless of what you're doing in your business, you need to be looking for other people because either you'll find other people who are doing similar things and you can partner with them. You can watch them. You can chat and say what's working for you, what's not. But you can also go and look at what people are doing who are the next step and then the next step and the next step beyond where you are and start consuming their material, right? So when I started this process, I really started looking out at, okay, who's out there doing spiritual coaching? Who's out there talking about soul songs, if anybody? Who's out there talking about the things that I'm talking about? And I just consumed material. So I did a lot of the free stuff. And then once I found people that I really resonated with, I spent my money. And I think that's the piece. It's like, find the right resources that resonate with you and then yep. dig into them. Whether it's a book, whether it's a podcast, whether it's, you know, an actual coach, a mastermind, there are so many things out there. And I have this great bookshelf in my office. It is actually two big bookshelves. And one of them all about the things that I do. So there are resources for me to pull off and say, you know, there's this quote or I read about this thing and let's talk about that. And then the other piece is I have an entire shelf on there of books that are written by people that I read. And I use that because I think if they wrote those books and I read them, then, and I bought them, then why can't I write a book? Why can't I be doing those things? And I use those as motivation for me in a way, inspiration for me. And so it's a lot of those resources there. But then I also want to turn it around and look at what are our internal resources? Because we can go out and we can get whatever book. We can listen to every single one of your podcasts, right? And you've got great guests who give great information. But we have to implement. We have to take action. And I think using those resources and then taking action, and how do we implement those things? How do we actually take something and make it different in our life? And that's how the transformation occurs. That's where the alchemy occurs. And I like to talk about alchemy because it is a process, and we go through and we take in that consumption of information, and then we figure out what works for us, what doesn't work for us. How are we going to then make it into our lives and own it ourselves? Because then when we own it, we can then become that person who's illuminating the path for somebody else.
Love it. Oh my gosh. I love it.
Yeah.
That's gold that just got dropped right there. That's a mic drop and a half. Like, oh my gosh.
Thank you.
Love that. I was like, yeah, preach, girl. Oh, preach it. It was awesome.
I can.
So talk about, let's talk about what, and I love it. You briefly touched on all the things I want to talk about. So at a very minute level, talk about orthobiotomy, like Webster's Dictionary. What is that?
Orthobiotomy is all about remembering our core of who we are at the physical and energetic level, and coming back to that. And it is, it works with the physical body. So it was developed by an osteopath who also was a black belt in judo, and he married those two things. So for a lot of people, orthobiomy looks like a physical body work, but in essence, it's really a spiritual practice of reconnecting to who we are. And the core principle of orthobiomy, core principles of orthobiomy are about being a catalyst and being neutral and facilitating. And how do we bring that into our life and recognizing for us, how do we then engage someone else from those principles?
I love it. Because when I think of ortho, I think of bones, right? So Oriental medicine. So you have a master's degree in Oriental medicine. Did you like go to college?
Four years of college. It's an actual master's degree.
Okay, so it's not just like a med school or is it like classes that you take? I wonder what the application process is for that. By application, I mean applying what you've learned. You know.
Yeah. Say more about that question because I can answer it in a couple different ways. Applying what I learned.
Yeah, so how would you apply, like if I'm going to school for Oriental medicine, right? Because I feel like there's not just one thing, you know what I mean? I mean, Oriental medicine is kind of a broad umbrella of some of the ancient arts and, you know, that you hear, you know, from over there.
Right.
But I'm really curious, like what types of Oriental medicine there is and what would be, if I'm going to school, right? What would be the application process for that? Like, do I find somebody that, hey, let me show you what I learned, like acupuncture or whatever, like, let me do this to you. Is that how you kind of practice?
No, you have to have a bachelor's degree to go to most of the schools. They are a master's program. It's a graduate degree.
Okay.
And so for most of them, you know, different states are a little bit different and it's still an evolving thing. So let's do a generality here. So it is a master's degree. It's a full-on graduate degree, and it is 3 to 4 years of classes with over 1,000 hours of clinical hours in a clinic treating clients, treating patients. So we learn, you know, you go talk about ortho, right? So you learn Western medicine in the sense of you need to have an overview. And then you learn all of the Chinese stuff. So what are meridians? What are pathways? What's energy? What's blood? What are the needles? What do we do with them? It's very in-depth. And there are different modalities within Oriental medicine. So there are there's acupuncture, there's Chinese herbs, there's diet, there's nutrition, there's astrology, there's Cui Na, which is a form of massage. And we learn all of that. And then once you can pursue out there, so there's within that field of Oriental medicine, there's five element, there's traditional Chinese medicine, there's energetic, it goes on and on. And I actually studied with, so I went to school and I got a master's degree. And while I was finishing that up and then afterwards, I studied with a French Vietnamese acupuncturist and he was a surgeon as well. And so we would go for a week and we would learn all about, say, immunology from a Western perspective and then immunology from an Eastern perspective and how they overlapped and how do we have that communication? Because like anything else, we need to be able to recognize that we complement things. And so how do Western and Eastern complement? And bringing those principles into, you know, my practice today, I think the biggest component for me is really, you know, bringing all of those pieces into what I do today is about recognizing that we are a whole person. And there's a great quote really stuck with me from Oriental medicine that we talk about the patient being a garden and the practitioner, the doctor, being a gardener. And that we are whole, we are a whole being, and recognizing that sometimes you might have just like a fall harvest here and you need to nourish something else over here. And how do we manage all those pieces and bringing them together into a whole? And that's really what Oriental medicine is about for me.
Boom.
Yeah.
Love it.
It's good.
You sound
stuff.
Pretty passionate about it. That's what I love.
I am.
You sound very, very passionate about it. I was like, ooh, yeah. Touched the nerve.
I love all that stuff because it all blends together. So, you know, I do,
yeah.
I've been studying, you know, energetic stuff and shamanism and Reiki for a long time. But really, it all blends together in the sense that we look at what are our connections? How do we regain being whole? How do we recognize that we already are whole? And bring that remembering back? And how do we remember that and then bring it into our life and own it? Mm-hmm. And what are those pieces that we bring together to bring that remembering and to bring that wholeness back together? And for me, when we talk about that, and that's where I come back full circle back around to Soul Song and talking about that's our notes of our soul song. There are different ways of remembering them, but when we remember and we bring those back together, then we are whole because we've already remembered that we were there to begin with. We're not broken. We just have to remember what wholeness is.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. And I'm discovering as I interview people, like I had a, you know, last week I had a Reiki master, like a month or two ago, I think it was like a couple months ago back in the summer. There's somebody else that's getting into it. Like, it seems to be that the energy healers and professionals and the study and the science around that is becoming more and more popular. Would you say that was true?
I absolutely would say that is true. I do feel like there's sort of an uprising that's happening. I think people are beginning to recognize that there's more out there and that Western allopathic medicine is not enough. And so in a way we're going back to our roots and I love that. And I love that analogy. And it's like looking back at homesteading is coming back, you know, going off grid and really reconnecting back to what that earth quality is, bringing back into our roots. And I think that right there is coming into the forefront of our world because people are like, something has to give. And when we recognize something has to give, we go back to the things that were working and we have a long history of recognizing that these things worked and still work.
Love it. Yep. Love it. So the Soul Song Alchemy, I like that name because you were talking about alchemy before and then like the Soul Song, it just works. So what happened there? Like, how did that become a thing?
Well, I realized that I kept having people come to me who were wellness professionals and just their business was not thriving. And I come from a background of business. I come from a background of training and I've been doing this a long time. And so I recognized that I needed to share some of what I had learned. And I find that, you know, bringing back and helping people remember that I'm going to rant again. We get into this wellness profession, and so many people are like, oh, I'm a healer, I'm a massage therapist, I do all these things. And then there's the other group of people who are like, well, it's a gift, you shouldn't charge for it. And we in the wellness profession have this scarcity model happening, and it needs to stop because we need to be nourished just like we nourish our clients. And if we are not nourished as a professional – and we don't take care of ourselves, we don't have anything left to give to our clients. And that's not going to benefit anybody. And so when we can step back and we can recognize that I have a business and that I've gone to school to learn these things, and even if I'm really gifted at what I do, I still have a family to feed. I still have a car to pay for. I still have to buy food and a house and clothes. We're not back in the old times where you can barter for a chicken. And recognizing that we have to be able to nourish ourselves, and that nourishment includes having a schedule that works for you. It includes having clients that you are joyful about seeing. It includes having the finances work. It includes having a business structure that brings you a lot of joy, and really bringing all those pieces in. And that's where the alchemy needs to happen. And that's where I help people bring that alchemy into their soul song, into their business. And so I blend those things together.
Oh, that's amazing. That's really cool. I like that.
Thank you.
Awesome. I was like, 'cause I was kind of, you know, do I ask? But I had to ask. I'm like, how did this, like, how's it all work? And it makes so much sense. I love it.
Yeah. Awesome. You know, and Soul Song Alchemy is really, I work with a lot of wellness professionals, but it's more than that. It's for anybody who's really looking at their life and going, one, how did I get here? Or this is not working for me anymore. And
right.
So how do we bring our soul song back into our foundation? And how do we bring those core values back in, and our gifts and our passions and our dreams? How do we remember those and build a foundation and create a life filled with those things, so that when we are asked that question about if today were the last day on this earth, you can answer yes every time. And that's what Soul Song Alchemy is really about.
I love it. So I had something lined up for that, but I had
Sorry.
Something lined up for that. I was like, ah, crap. All right. Anyway, so this is the point of the show where we talk about where you're headed now, and we do this shameless plug moment. So
yeah.
Where are you headed now? What types of things do you have going on? New adventures, businesses, family? Like, where are you headed?
Yeah, so I am really wanting to my direction is building up the Soul Song Alchemy and getting more known for that. So I'm getting more speaking engagements. I'm doing more workshops on all of that. But I also run a group on Facebook called Soul Song Guild. And I did this after the election, where I really realized that so many people needed to have a place to come and talk about what was happening in their life, and to recognize that regardless of what your political affiliation is, there needs to be a way for us to illuminate the path and really to recognize that we all are change makers in our life, and that how do we support ourselves as change makers, and how do we support ourselves bringing our soul song out into our world? And so I run this group on Facebook that's called Soul Song Guild, and I am so loving it. We talk about how we recognize when we spend the day looking at the kindness acts that we see around us. Like Thursdays are when we look at, notice all day, every act of kindness, every act of grace, every act of someone else putting their hand out. And when we bring our attention to that, it changes us, and it makes us a better change maker in our life. And so I have these daily themes in there that are really about bringing that a pathway out into the world. And I talk about this from a perspective of, I was at the Statue of Liberty a few years ago, and she's holding up this lantern, right? And if you go and you read about the lantern, it's really about illuminating the path for enlightening the path for those behind her. And I want to take that to a greater level. I want us to illuminate the path, not only for ourselves and those coming behind us, but I want to illuminate the path for those beside us as well, because I think we're only going to get through all the turmoil that's happening in the world when we come together as a community and we shine our own lights and we bring that illumination out into the world as change makers. So my shameless plug would be, you know, come join the Soul Song Guild on Facebook. Come join in the adventures that are happening there.
Love it. Wow. Nailed it. Love it.
And
love
you're
it.
You're doing it. You're like, this is fantastic. You're absolutely doing it. And I posted in there today, I'm like, this is what I'm talking about. This is what a change maker is doing. This is how we make a difference in the world.
I love it. You know, I'm doing a Facebook Live gratitude challenge, and I'm on day 55 of 66. And
uh-huh.
I just got so sick of seeing all the hate and the hurt and like all the stuff that I've seen, even on Facebook, people being mean to each other and rude and obnoxious, and people in the world and on TV and people that I encounter every day. So I was like, you know what? I'm so sick of my feed being full of here's what's in the news today and all this other crap, right? So now every day at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time, I go on Facebook and I do a Facebook Live gratitude challenge where I talk about two blessings that I received today, and then the third blessing is how I blessed someone in return. So like I bought someone's coffee.
I love it.
I, you know, helped an old lady across the street. The things that we were taught as young boys, like you better help that old lady across the street and you better hold the doors open. You better be, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Like that's gone. It's just absolutely like chivalry is dead. You know what I mean? And so and that's what I've been doing, you know, and people are like, wow, that's pretty cool. And, you know, hey, this is my blessing that I got. And like, if we focus on the blessings of our life, and not so much the negativity, our lives would be so much more fulfilling.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that goes back to, you know, one of those core principles that I was talking about orthobiomy, where we talk about focusing on where comfort is. And if you've got, you've got somebody who's in a lot of pain and you recognize that their little pinky doesn't have any pain, and you sit with that and you help them feel that and you help them remember that, by the next time they come back in, they're going to be in less pain in the rest of their body. It's miraculous what we can do.
That's amazing. Absolutely. Yeah, the mind and body is an absolute, oh my gosh, it's amazing. Like they say, like if your stomach hurts, that means you're stressed. If this hurts, like different organs hurt, different areas of the body hurt, you know, based on how we're feeling and what we're going through. And I think that's magnificent that it's designed that way. So
the energy behind the actions that we take is huge. I mean, what you're doing is phenomenal, right? Because what that's happening is also every time you give one of those gifts to somebody else, then there's a ripple effect that's happening and it creates more of that energy in the world. And when we talk about it from an energetic perspective, we are focusing on where spirit is, what we're focusing on, what's right instead of what's wrong. And when we focus on what's right, we amplify that. And it's just huge.
Oh, yeah. Super. Awesome. Yeah. So as we wrap up and close the show, can you deliver your best nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire someone?
Sure. This is my favorite thing, is that I think we all have a gift. We all came into this world with something to share, and that we need to be doing that. And so whatever it is that I talk about when we go to bed at night and that thing that just keeps running through our head, or that thing that we grew up wanting to be and wanting to do, it's those things that won't let go of us. We are meant to do those things. And when we don't do them, we are shutting off a part of our spirit. But even more than that, somebody else out there needs that. And that connection needs to be happening because we have no idea what the ripple effects in the world are going to be. And so when we can really honor those things that are our gifts and our dreams that we need to be bringing into the world that just are there, we enlighten, bring so much light into the world and can make so many things different.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful. So give us a call to action. What should someone do today? Go to your website, buy your products, a book, set a goal, plan something, write in a journal. Give us some actionable steps to take today.
Yeah. So definitely I love the connection. So anybody who wants to connect with me, I do a free call, 15 minutes. It's called a Soul Song Chat. And we can sit and we can talk for 15 minutes and we can get a lot of things cleared up and a lot of clarity focused in those 15 minutes. And you can find that link on my website, which is thedragonmystic.com. But even better than that, what I want people to be doing is I want you to remember what it is that brings you joy in the world and to go and do that, because those are the things that really create ultimate transformation. And that when we can do those things, then we can step back and build on those resources. We can connect with people like me. We can connect with people like you, and that then bigger things happen, but find that joy and connect.
Love it. Nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. So, as we close, do you have any last words for the listeners?
Thank you for being here and thank you for having me. This has been a fantastic. I'm loving your energy, Sean, and I'm loving being on the show. And I think the key, right, is you're running this podcast about transformation. And I think the key ingredient for everybody is to don't just listen to the fantastic guests that Sean has. Go out and take action. And go out and implement some of those things that you listen to and take the action and then own it. Make it yours. Because then when you make it yours, it becomes something that is becoming in a habit for you. And when we build those habits up and we take a change and we own it and then we make it a habit, it's not something we have to think about anymore. And we've just created change in our life and we've created transformation that will in fact lead to a joyful life.
Boom. I love this. Like I could talk to you forever. Like, speaking my language.
Likewise.
I'm like, yes.
Thank you.
Love it. Wow. That was amazing. I can't wait to put the show notes together and put some. Oh, yeah, I got all kinds of ideas. I'm like, graphics are going to be flying out of. Oh, it's going to be amazing. So, thank you so much for everything that you've shared today. I love the authenticity, the real conversation that we have. That's what I love about the show, is it is a real conversation. It's not scripted. I got a couple questions that I usually always ask just to keep everything like in a format, but like it's not scripted. It's raw. It's authentic. It's real. And I love the vulnerability that the guests show when they come on, and you have exceeded all of my expectations because I knew how awesome you were, but this has been totally amazing experience. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for doing this, because that authenticity and that rawness is what people are looking for, and I so appreciate that you are stepping up and bringing that out into the world. So thank you.
Well, thank you so much. So I look forward to connecting and following you and learning more about you and everything, just staying connected.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Awesome.
It's gonna
again
be fun.
Yeah. Again, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah.
So
have a great rest of your day. Yeah.
You too. Life Transformation Radio listeners, another amazing episode with amazing guests that are just blowing the doors off of what they're doing in their space, elevating lives, creating impact, and using their why and their transformation as a focal point for that elevation. If anything that you heard today has resonated with you, go to iTunes, subscribe to the show, rate and review the entire show, and then get in touch with Stephanie. Again, you can go to her on facebook.com/ The Dragon Mystic, MYSTIC, The Dragon Mystic. You can look her up on LinkedIn at Steph Smart, and then go to her website, www.thedragonmystic.com. This is someone that you need to know. She is someone that is going to revolutionize your life in a 15-minute phone call. I promise you, get in touch with her, and she will figure out your journey. And I'm telling you, your mind will be blown. So as we close the show, I always say, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the values that you hold deep in your heart. Every day you live that out, I call it living your brand. And until next episode, have a good night.